you, Alan. That's great. I love that song. That's an old Science of Mind song. Thank you. Oh, is that what you're wanting to do now? Okay, while we, yes.
Well, just so that we can...
You're definitely in charge today, I could tell. That is so funny. Okay.
So, Meg, would you stand there?
Do you know how much money?
Oh, you want to do it, Susan? Okay.
There's different. How much money are you dividing, tell them?
There's $124 in the pot, so oh. 62.
So whoever gets 62. Woo! Okay. The last five are 5, 7, 6.
Thank you, everybody. That was great. Okay, so we can't seem to get that. You know, it's the first of the month. And on the first of the month, we usually have Dr. Ken saying something. And he might not be ready to say anything this morning. So we're going to wait and see. Is there a possibility, guys, that the stage lights could reflect back? Is it working? No. Okay. Okay. We're going to hold on. Yeah. He has laryngitis. You know, he's got a little stage fright. And he has something really good to say, but if he doesn't say it pretty soon, we're just going to go ahead and bless him. No? Look, you guys, oh, there it is. Okay, yay. Dr. Ken Gordon, our spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living.
Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. Ken Gordon, spiritual leader for Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm here this month of April, for our Sunday 2017 themes. Our first week in April is April 2nd, and it's given to us by Reverend Karen Rice, who's the senior minister for the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living in Peoria, Arizona. And her topic is the staying power of our teaching. You know, our teaching was made for times like this. This is the time that we're called for. We've been teaching for over 90 years. We've been spreading the word of Science of Mind into the world. And every single time, every year, every season, every generation, every era, it has always been pertinent. There's never been a time when Science of Mind was redundant. We've always had the opportunity to bring forward these truths that we espouse, these tenets that we talk about. And the tenets basically are, is that once you get a new idea, once you open yourself to a new conclusion in life, a new belief system, the end result is everything in your experience transforms and changes. Never before has the world needed our message more. Emanuel Swedenborg stated that before anything is brought back into order, it's quite normal for it to be brought first into a kind of confusion, a virtual chaos. And in this way, things that fit together badly are severed from each other, and when they've been severed, then the Lord arranges them in order. We can see the same relevance today. It's clear that something new is trying to happen, trying to emerge in our world around us. We see it in our business, in the business world, the world of finance. We see it in the political world. We see it in the spiritual and religious world. There has become an awakening within humanity. And I'll share with you is that there is a greater light that has ever happened before. And when that greater light shines upon us, what we'll see is a greater shadow. And that shadow is what we're dealing with here today. Dr. Holmes in The Love and Law, page 22, said, "You'll find your word has the amount of power, the amount of intelligence that you put into it, and it has creative power according to the amount of absolute conviction and the impulse of love which is behind it." He also said in Love and Law on page 27 that your final emancipation will be written by your own hand, thought by your own mind, recognized as your own birthright. For me, this means that it's incumbent upon us to transform and change who we are. It's in order for us to have a voice in the world, we have to model our own teaching, which means we can no longer afford to step forward and speak from anger or hatred or resentment or prejudice. We must clean that within our own self and our own being before we can have a voice in the world around us without creating and bringing back more of the havoc and chaos that Swedenborg talked about. The possibilities are absolutely limitless. What we can do if we center ourselves and move forward in the tradition of our teaching and the belief in the rightness of it, the end result is that we will not only see the goodness of life, but we will see the transformation to goodness of the world around us. Thank you and bless you.
Very good. Isn't that good? So my talk today is, what is transformation? And so Dr. Ken just spoke that our Science of Mind teaching has been a sustaining power, and never before has the world needed our message more. And so I would add, never before do we as individual unique expressions of the one life, the one power, need these teachings to navigate. Navigate through life, through the confusion, through the chaos, and the chaos the world is experiencing right now. So to understand this process of transformation, today we are asking the question, what is transformation? And as I said, and the takeaway, which is your beautiful turquoise thing, which I invite you to take with you today to remember, that transformation is a personal journey. And I put that a quote from Ernest Holmes, and I realized that's not a quote from Ernest Holmes. It's from the Bible, and it's from Romans 12, 2. Oh, well. They both said really great things. And from the Romans 12, 2, it says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I kept asking the question. I kept asking the question, what is transformation? And then the first part of the week, there was some chaos, I would say. And I was talking to Rick, and Rick reminded me. He reminded me of a talk that Reverend Edward had given, our minister in Santa Rosa. And he said, remember that when Reverend Edward talked, he said, we are as lowly as the worm and as majestic as the eagle. And we are everything in between. And he said, you know, you have that book in your bookcase. I said, I do. He said, yes. And so I've had this book in my bookcase for years, sitting on the shelf, waiting for the perfect time to assist me in the questions. I love when that happens, and this book is Walking on the Wind, and it's the Cherokee teachings for harmony and balance. And so, because of what Rick had said, I picked it up, and I started to devour this book that I had never read before. And so this morning, it was exactly, in my opinion, what we need to understand transformation. Because sometimes we forget that the Native Americans really knew the power of nature and the power of the earth. And so Michael begins some of this teaching with, he says, I am a teacher and a student. We are all teachers. We are all students. I have learned much about the medicine from my father and other teachers. just as my father in turn learned the medicine from his grandfather and other medicine teachers. The medicine is essence. It is all those things that have power for us. It is not easily understood, and yet it flows through us like a chill running down our spine when things suddenly come clear, or the calm feeling of listening to the sound of raindrops softly patterning on leaves on a cool rainy day. This is medicine. The medicine is not about me, and it is not about you. It is about us. And it is about life. The medicine is a way of life. It is a gift. It is a feeling. The medicine is an inner power that flows through us, guiding us and challenging us to learn so that we can be better helpers to ourselves, all of our brothers and sisters, all of those around us, and our natural environment. You can see as I started reading this, because there was shifts of change of things happening in my life. And as I read it, it fed me, it nurtured me. I'm hoping it's doing the same for you today. And Michael goes on and he says, the rule of acceptance. I love this. When we arise in the morning, give thanks for the morning light, for your life and strength. Give thanks for your food and the joy of living. If you have no reason for giving thanks, the fault lies within yourself. Oh. As I was looking at what I wasn't accepting as just the way of chaos, of transformation, I realized I had judgment. Anybody? So he goes on. Understanding the flow of life allows us to let go of expectations, accept the limitations over which we have no control, and to move with this flow. I would call it moving with the river. This way, we focus our energies on making intuitively informed choices about where our path is taking us and learn from the beauty of life, allowing our own spirit to flourish like a small wildflower opening into the dewy petals to the bright and orangey morning sunlight. Expect nothing. Appreciate the value of everything. This is the true lesson of the rule of acceptance. This, I would add, is good medicine. To accept what is means to accept chaos. So let's talk about chaos. Where at times when there is chaos in our lives, it seems like everything is falling apart. Yes? Like it's scattering to the wind, like, oh my gosh. And I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I want to gather it back in, to put it back together again. But in chaos, when everything seems to be falling apart or changing or seems to be upside down, we have to stop and realize that if everything that we are experiencing in this life is spiritual, then how are we going to look at the chaos? And now is when they were going to put the picture of the caterpillar up on the screen. So imagine. See, when the screen doesn't work, it's really, really good because it enhances our imagination and our ability to open.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. It's all spiritual, all good medicine. So imagine the caterpillar. Now, we've all watched caterpillars. I certainly did as a kid. I thought they were very interesting. And they would just move along. Their whole life was the leaf they were on. They didn't even see that they were high up off of the ground. They didn't worry about heights. It was just... And they chewed along the way. Now, that's pretty good life. Everything that they needed was there for them. And so they weren't worried about anything. They weren't worried about heights. They weren't worried about where their next meal was coming from because they were on their meal. And when they wanted, they ate. And when they didn't want, they didn't eat. I don't know what caterpillars did at night, but I'm sure they were grateful for the food that they were sleeping on. And so the reason we're looking at the caterpillar is because then there's all of a sudden something calling within the caterpillar to move into another possibility. And so the caterpillar doesn't quite understand what's going on, but his yearning to move into a newer possibility, a new idea, he begins to spin this web thing that sort of starts to cover him like a sleeping bag. He doesn't know why, but he knows that there's something going on for him that is changing within him. And as the caterpillar weaves his cocoon, and the cocoon takes him over, he absolutely starts to disintegrate. Actually, he becomes liquefied. You think things are bad happening in your life. Imagine that if somebody told you you had to go get into this sleeping bag, zip yourself up, and liquefy. You think you're experiencing chaos in your life or out in the world. That's pretty chaotic. But because the caterpillar has something inside of him, an essence, a medicine that calls him to something that is greater, he liquefies. He goes into the chaos, the change, the metamorphosis. You see, because what Dr. Ken said is that when there is that change that takes place, there's such great light in the change, which creates a shadow. So anything unlike the change has got to come into our awareness. And then pretty soon the caterpillar starts to get antsy. The sleeping bag doesn't fit him anymore. And he wants to get out. And I don't know about you, but we were all told as children, don't touch the caterpillar, the cocoon. Because kids would try and open it up and would kill the butterfly. Because you see the transformation, that is going on inside for each one of us, that is taking place within us, the questions that we have, what is transformation and why for this chaos? Instead, if we started to look at it, is what is this asking of me? What is this wanting me to do, to be? Because it begins first with us. And when we understand that there is something new and something grand being birthed, then it is ours, as in this consciousness and awareness, is what is it that we would like to walk into? What is it that we would like to be good for all of humanity? And first it begins with me. It isn't about anybody else. It's about me growing and fitting and wanting to be that transformation. Because you see, in transformation, what is transformation? It means that I'm willing to go through the chaos of my belief system, of what it is that I want to push against, and come back into, let me be with this, and what is this asking of me? As happened this week, I wanted to go fix it. I fix everybody. Not my job. our founder, Ernest Holmes, said, you find emancipation will be written by your own hand. We cannot begin to tell other people what they need to do to have our emancipation. But what is my emancipation? What is this asking of me? And thought, emancipation is thought by your own mind, Ernest Holmes says, and recognized as your own birthright. To come into the fullness of our being, you see, because I believe that's what transformation is. Transformation always asks us to rise above the condition, to recognize that everything is spiritual and everything is asking us to come into that place where we can soar like the eagle. See, we already and always have a perfect expression of spirit. And yet, doesn't life ask us to evolve? I think it does. And that, to me, is the adventure that I live in. That who I am today, tomorrow will not be the same person. I hope not, anyway. Because there's more. There's more to be expressed. There's more to be experienced. And as I read this book, I thought, wow, to be in appreciation for everything. And if I'm not in appreciation for everything, even the chaos, whew, there's got to be something great being birthed out of this chaos of transformation. See, because I believe that that's where the consciousness of where we want to go and be. And that's like, that's how we got the chairs. That's how we come and find a community like this, because we start to say, you know, there's got to be another way to look at life. Remember, we are each a divine, perfect child of the Mother, Father, God. This is who you are. Our transformation occurs every day when we remember everything is sacred and we're each connected to the highest good and the greater truth. And when we can't see it, then we need to be called to a book that feeds us, that nurtures us, that reminds us that transformation is a natural occurrence and it's good medicine. And everything being sacred, then help me to see the sacredness in this, whatever this is, that is being presented to me today. Let's not fight the meltdown. We have the power within us to rise above and to fly. And I'll close with a piece from the book that I felt was important. It's a really good book. Maybe Jeannie will get a couple of these in the bookstore. What a thought. And just remember, as the rainbow is sacred, so is my life. So is your life. Yes, my life is sacred to me. Make your life sacred to you. That may sound a bit arrogant at first, but only because of how it sounds, rather than what it means to me, he says. It is interesting when we begin to realize what we consider gifts and what we expect and what we consider privilege and what we consider obligation. Everything in life is sacred. I'm going to invite us to know that in a greater way this week. So let's take that into prayer. And so just recognizing that there is only one life, one power, one all-embracing, all-loving creative essence. I call this God, the divine, infinite, the beloved. By whatever name, there is only one life. And that life lives and breathes and has its very expression in and through and as me. I am in complete partnership with the divine. I am the beloved place where God shows up. And when I recognize this truth, I recognize this truth in not only in me, but in everyone. For what is true of me must be true of all of the people I meet, all of the people that I see, each and every one of us, a unique divine expression of that one life. I claim it so. I know it is to be so. And so I call forth a greater sense of harmony within each one of our lives, a greater sense of the sacred, of good medicine, to recognize that we are each the beloved in whom God is well pleased. And where there is a need for a healing, I call forth that miracle-working power of God to restore, to remind, to renew our physical bodies as well as our spiritual bodies and our mental bodies. We are one body. And we bless this time together as we bless the expansion of our transformation, as we bless the clarity that is being revealed this day with every breath we breathe. And greater than what I can speak in words, I know is already taking place in the mind of God, and I trust this divine mind. And so I just release my word into that ever-living, loving law of God that always says yes, returning to and through each and every one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. We are full of it, full of that life, full of guidance, full of the divine self. And in this, we just allow God to do God's work. And if you're in agreement, please join me in saying, and so it is. Amen.